podcasting Q&A live from Bar Camp LA, this time on Technology IQ. This is Technology IQ with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit our website at welchwrite.com/tech IQ. welchwrite.com/tech IQ. Do you have a technology question? Email it to techiq@welchwrite.com and we'll answer it in an upcoming podcast. Douglas Welch. I am a podcaster. I was one of the first 20 podcasters back in September 2004, mainly because I had a print column of about 8 years old at that time, and I had already toyed with the idea of having a audio version of it, but there wasn't any distribution model. But when podcasting showed up, it's like, oh yeah, this is it. And I jumped right on the bandwagon. I have over 350 episodes that I've produced of my Career Opportunities podcast. I also have a couple other podcasts that I do, including one on gardening, one on technology, and one that's kind of a catch-all. My catch-all blog is My Word on the Right, and it's about LA events, basically things that catch my interest in general. It's my personal blog, if you will, on podcast. Technology IQ down at the bottom is one I just recently started podcasting on, and it's basically become the home for all the technology stuff that used to be in My Word. Okay? Five things about podcasting. Let me see here if I can remember these. First of all, does not require an iPod. Everybody knew that, right? That's the first thing you want to tell anyone you're talking to about podcasting. Doesn't require an iPod, because people new to the concept will automatically assume that it does because of the name. Something we've been fighting from the beginning. Podcasting is a lousy name except for all the other names. That's like, you know, what Plato said about democracy, right? Podcasting is intimate. You are whispering in your listeners' ears. Literally, in most cases, you see people walking around with their iPod, you are literally whispering in their ears. It is much more intimate than, as a writer, I wish writing was more intimate. It's pretty intimate, it does, but I'm sorry, when you're podcasting, it's just so much more connection to the people. It also brings your personality directly across. So if you're doing something that has a lot of personality, you know, you really do want them to hear your voice. For a podcast listener, podcasting is freedom. It is the freedom to listen to what you want, when you want, where you want it. And that is where, for me, yes, I have drunk the Kool-Aid. That is for me, though, where it outweighs webcasting, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, anything else, is the fact that I get to listen to what I want to listen to when I want to listen to it. I'm looking for... Okay, I just want to make sure my bags are... for the podcast creator, it's also freedom. But it's a freedom to produce whatever you want to produce with no middleman. It's you talking to your audience with nobody in between. You don't have a network executive you got to get to buy your pilot. You don't have a radio exec who decides to play your song. Nothing. It's you talking to your audience. Now, that can also mean your audience can talk right back to you sometimes. So you do, like anything, like giving a presentation here at Bar Camp, you got to realize you're putting yourself out there. Like the super Viva woman this morning. That was pretty gutsy. Here's my site. Tell me what you think about it. I mean, that takes a lot of guts to get up and do that. And I think she got a lot of great ideas from that session. But you do have to be aware about that. Podcasting listeners will contact you. They will email you. They will give you whatever method of contacting that you give them, they will use. They will never talk to you enough, but they will talk to you. Beyond that, really now, I'm more interested in what questions you guys have. That's what I'm here for. And I see a hand over here. You must be Italian. I can tell. You know, it's a kick goes the glass, do I? Yes, ma'am.
So I've had this idea, and I've had the domains registered for like a year, and I've been sitting on it. Having a podcast that is hard to describe, so if I tell you how it works, work with me. you're putting on your headphones,
mm-hmm.
and you've already got your grocery list mm-hmm. that I sent you, and you've already got the pots and pans that you need because I told you what you need. And I'm going to tell you what to make out of that ingredient mm-hmm. and out of those pots and pans on your stove in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes you longer, you press pause and it's cool.
Exactly.
Two things about it. One is, does it seem like something like that would be received?
There's already stuff out there like it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, there's one of the early shows I know. I'm not sure if he's still doing a show, but there was a Cooking on the Radio with Jeff Nemscher. That was one of the first cooking shows, podcasts that I ran across, and it was very much like that, yeah.
Okay.
And there are also video podcasts that take you through
an
entire dish.
Video podcast because I've seen other people's, and you're not looking at it, and I want it to be the experience of, you called me on the phone and said, mm-hmm. hey, how do you make lasagna?
The audio and video, there's places for both. And it, as you said, there's reasons you wouldn't do video because you don't necessarily want people looking at it. And the real-time thing comes into play, too. What do you do during that time when it's cooking or do they hit pause or whatever they need to do? So don't worry about audio or video. That kind of gets decided by whatever you feel. My career, Career Opportunities is an audio podcast because my weekly show is basically a reading of my print column. Well, no one needs to sit... watch me sitting there reading a print column. I got a face for radio as it is, so we'll just leave that alone. The other blogs I do some video in when I think it might be interesting or appropriate. For example, in my gardening podcast, and my head is sitting right in your way, but forgive me for that. Maybe I'll move here. But if normally I do a gardener's notebook, there are audio, but this is a video I did last weekend. Well, actually, this weekend, too, they're kind of doing it two weekends. And after you get by the intro, it actually shows me doing something. I'm actually repairing a drip irrigation line in my garden. This is the reason I would use video. But it doesn't mean I'm a video podcaster all the time. Mainly, it's audio. The website also contains links and other interesting articles. So it's a combination blog, podcast, video podcast type of thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think all podcasts should have some text content associated with them because, frankly, that's the only way search engines find you. And if you're not feeding, that's why if you do a podcast, you should at least have some extensive show notes because, so here, now we switch to a view of me actually, you know, demonstrating something basically. So that's an example, you know, of some of the stuff I do. I have lots of show notes on your each podcast because that's how the search engines are going to index you. Yes, there are a couple audio to text conversion services now, Podzinger and Plugged. That's right, PLUGGD.com. That will take the text of your speech and will take what you say and convert it into text. They're only about 85% accurate, so it helps, but certainly having stuff on your web page will actually allow the search engine something to scoop up and allow people to find you.
At least make keywords for you. Or at least make keywords. You know, what's more important about it is that it would pick up some words that you identify.
Yeah, every post I make has gardening, you know, something like that in it. And that definitely helps. And if you watch your stats, you can actually see how people are finding your website. You'll see that search tag at the end of the referrer in a lot of cases. So, well, it came from Google, and they were searching on garden notebook irrigation or something, you know, for this video. And you can actually play to that. You can say, oh, they found me that way. I was just by accident the other day. I was watching my stats, and all of a sudden, I was like. And it was, what happened? So I started looking around referrers. I have Google Analytics running on just the blogs, so I can kind of get real time. And I'm like, well, what's... So I dug around and went, oh. I became the number one hit for Lunar Eclipse California during the last week or 2 weeks ago when the eclipse happened. And, you know, I knew it wouldn't last, but boy, it was like, boing, right through the roof. And I'm like, cool. But that's another reason to have text associated with your podcast as well. If you just have the podcast episode name, you're not really giving the search engines any meat to hold on to. Another question. But hey, well, to go back yours, I think it's a great idea to do it.
Well, the other question about it was, how can I monetize or should I even try?
Yes, I think, you know, despite what we make, you know, some people might have said at the beginnings of podcasting, oh, my pod, you know, there's no reason to monetize it. That's just being a bad citizen. It's like, no, you need to pay for your costs minimally. There are the ways I'm finding people monetizing their podcast now that seems to be beyond Google AdSense ads and beyond sponsorship. The next step up that a lot of people are finding successful is having premium content. You have a free podcast you give away, which is, you know, kind of a taste. Like, you know, you work in the culinary world. You give them a little taste, and they come on, come back. And then you have a premium podcast that they can subscribe to for a fee.
To start out monetizing, I wouldn't necessarily just shoot the gun. You know, I would definitely try and get your production down, make it more professional. And there are certain ways you can do monetizing. You have a sponsorship. You could have downloaded audio, mixed in with your.
Maybe in association with monetizing, I would say yes. You want to have a more professional opinion, but I will say. Yeah, well, what I'd say up front, though, is don't let... The trouble is that whole professionalism thing stops people dead in their tracks.
Well, not necessarily. I'm saying, like, you want to get your process down just so you can, you know... But there are different ways. There's other companies where you can, merge audio with your audio and you get paid every time someone does a download. But they're usually... Or you can just go and try and make more money by trying to get sponsorship from a specific, you know, company or pull your own ads in. That's where you can make a bigger chunk.
If you have someone in your organization who's capable of selling those sponsorships and ads, that's always the most important thing. And that's what people say, well, how come you ever monetize your podcast more? And it's like, because I'm just not very good at it. I admit that straight up. That's one of the skills I lack. And that's why I say I think if you're going to go that direction, you really need someone who's experienced and has a finesse for that type of thing. Now,
Any precedent about anyone, like, for example, if I were to sell the PDFs of the recipes and the mise en place document that someone could listen to it, but they wouldn't get the full experience of it unless they bought the groceries in advance. Mm-hmm. And they have to go write down everything that I said. Mm-hmm.
When you sort of see that on some cooking shows on television, Nigella was famous for this in her older show. She doesn't do it anymore on the Food Network, but she never gave you an ingredients list, and you're like, you're trying to get it down. She wanted you to buy the cookbook. But that's one example from the real world that, yeah, it's possible. I mean, basically, yes, you can listen to it for free, or you can get the whole kind of collection. That might be one. The trouble is with podcasting is it's new. It's only 2.5 years old. And so while we have some of these business models that we can kind of try and steal from radio or steal from television or other markets, you know, in some ways, we're still inventing it. And while some of these monetization things work somewhat, again, depending on what you're doing, others aren't. And it's going to all come out in the wash eventually. I hate to say that, but we're going to figure out how to do this better. The premium thing is what I'm seeing right now, as of in the last 6 months, as being one of the more effective methods of doing that. Is that, you know, you have a free podcast to introduce them and get them to know you, and then you have something premium that after they've learned, you know, who you are and what you're offering, then they're willing to pay for a more extended. One of the best examples I can give of that is Screencasts Online. These are screencasts are recordings of the computer screen. They're tutorials for software, and he does a shortened version for free, but then if you want the premium ones, which are sometimes as long as 30, 45 minutes.
That's the website, Screencast Online.
Screencasts, I believe, plural, online. I can look it up in just a second. But that's probably the best example I can give off the top of my head of someone who's doing that, where he has a premium subscription that allows you to, for a little change, get a lot more information, actually. Now, one thing, and I just want to, if you haven't heard of TalkShoe, TalkShoe is an interesting little hybrid that's come up in the last 3 months. I had some fellow members of Friends in Tech. This is a podcast technology podcasting group that I'm a member of, friendsintech.com. And a couple of members got involved with TalkShoe. TalkShoe allows you to do a live radio show and take callers. And so you do a live show. The show is then recorded. They record it at... It's phone quality. They record about 8 kilohertz, probably, if you listen to it. for you. You hit a button and they recorded it at their site. Then they post it. Now, one of the nice things is if you record it yourself, you can actually upload a high-res version after the fact. It has an integrated chat room, an integrated stream, and then a phone call system whereby you can call in. Now, one of the reasons I don't use this a lot. We have some people who do regular weekly shows this way. And one from another fellow Friends and Tech member, the typical Mac user podcast. Victor has a big following, and he actually gets 20, 30 callers or chatters coming into the room during his shows. Now, the one reason we've started using TalkShoe a little bit is we actually get paid. They just changed their payment model a little bit, actually into a better type of thing. But right now, we basically get paid on downloads. We get paid on how many people you have live, how many people you have listening to the stream alone, and also then you get paid per download after the fact. And I've actually, as of today, I've made about $70.
So they want you to publicize it and get more people to visit their site.
Exactly. They actually have a referral program too, which I don't have any referrals that I've given to them, but yeah, there is a referral program where you actually get, I think, 25% of the income of your people you refer. But that's not a big thing for me. I really don't do it that much.
Do you know if they have a maximum number of listeners?
Leo Laporte is their biggest name that uses TalkShoe. He does Net at Night live via TalkShoe.
Oh,
and he has hundreds of people. Now, early on, it brought the system to its knees. You didn't try to do your show opposite Leo because the system would fail. You could not get in. They've beefed up their infrastructure a little bit now. But yeah, he's the big name, and he has literally hundreds of people calling in and chatting in, you know, connecting in via the chat. So it's getting more robust as we go along. Again, the nice thing is it's like my AdSense ads. It's enough coming in. Like my AdSense ads basically cover my hosting costs, you know, so it helps in that regard. Again, my friend Victor is really making use of this, and the funky thing is, we've kind of tried out interesting new uses for this type of environment. One of the things I did was for Christmas, my friends and I and my wife got together and we did a live reading of A Christmas Carol based on Dickens' actual reading script that he used to read from for his live readings. Okay, and I broke it up and I published, put the PDF out there, broken into sections. So if people had come in via the phone, I had a few friends, but they were too shy to do it. They were actually listening, but they didn't want to read. But they could actually come in and they could hit their request to talk button. We could queue people up and say, okay, section 4 is coming up. Are you ready? You know, via the chat, and go. You're live. It unmutes their call and they could read their section. For Valentine's Day, we did a reading of Love Letters from History. Last night we did the funkiest thing of all. Victor had this idea. He's a musician as well. We actually had a jam session over TalkShoe. We connected up. Actually, what we did is we Skyped ourselves together, and then he called in to TalkShoe via a phone bridge that he has, a Telos bridge that he has. So everyone there could hear us. We could hear them. But we could play without delay between us. And I was surprised it works at all. But it actually worked pretty well. So we're probably going to do that just for fun. Actually, even over TalkShoe, there wasn't much of a delay. One guy was having a delay, but it was local. He was running the audio through the Mac and back out, and if you do that, you get that delay. There's no way. I was running right off my mixing console, so I could hear myself without delay, and I could actually hear Victor without delay. We did Skype because actually the connection between us and was much higher quality. Skype is almost like, it just amazes me sometimes. If you got a really nice connection, it's like being there. I mean, it really was. I was really surprised how well it worked because we figured, this isn't going to work at all. Let's just have fun and try it out. And we played like 5 or 6 songs together. You know, he's in Corona. I was here. Another guy was up in the Bay Area somewhere. It's like, dang, this actually worked. So, as you can see, there's tons of possibilities for podcasting.
Does TalkShoe give you a recording of the whole?
They do. They record like an 8 kilohertz phone quality recording of it, of the whole session. Now, what I do is I use my little iRiver. What's our time here?
If you record off the computer, it's a higher.
I record a high-res version. My voice would be high-res. Callers coming in would be the phone-res because they're coming in through the phone bridge. But, for example, I've done a couple of interviews recently, and I have, you know, my interview subject here in my quote-unquote studio, which is basically my master suite of the house, which we use as our offices. And then so basically the whole interview would be high quality, and then only the callers coming in would be lower quality. So I usually run a backup anyway just for myself to make sure I have a copy because there have been times when TalkShoe's had some hiccups where my phone call dropped out or something like that. So it's always a good idea just to run a backup anyway. Then you can upload that later. If it cut out at 15 minutes of a 30-minute show, you can just put your version up and it's the whole show. Any other questions today? Feel free. No. Podcasting. Well, let me show you real quick. Then, let's see here.
Where do you host your feed?
I host my files. I have a kind of a standard GoDaddy account. I only recently moved to them, maybe 6 months ago. I was having really bad problems with my previous host. But outages. I had a 72-hour outage with no feedback, other than we're fixing it. Well, sorry.
Who's that?
One and one.
You can actually 2 hours with one and one.
Yeah, you can actually find the comments on my website if you search for one and one. I don't want to diss them too hard, but that was really bad. Now I will say I moved to GoDaddy and immediately had an issue with them too, and it was sort of like I ran into a connections issue. Because with podcast, of course, you can have a lot of people hitting a server in that first 10 minutes. The file would download and then to stop. And well, the worst part about that was not that there was a technical problem. That I could have lived with. It's when I called tech support. They told me there wasn't a problem. And I'm going, no. I have hundreds of people out there who are emailing me saying, the file's not downloading. It's not on my connection. It's not in LA. It's not isolated to one provider. It's everybody. And guess who's the common denominator, guys? You are. And luckily, you know, eventually it solved it. But that initial experience with them was not good. The problem recurred, and then it was very much of, check this trouble ticket that we saw before. It's the same problem. And yeah, then it was like, boom. It all depends on who you get. It really does.
Do they give you any tools specific to podcasting, or you just kind of look at the stats?
They have a podcasting. GoDaddy has a podcasting setup you can get. Yeah. I just have a standard web hosting account with them. I was looking for this interview here if I can find it. Hold on with me.
Do you guys mind if I put you in my service?
Sure.
I do podcast
service. Is it a good or a bad service?
No, it's a good service.
Oh,
no,
your service.
Yeah,
okay.
But I give like, you know, unmetered bandwidth as well. And on top of that, I provide a podcasting control panel that is more white label, so you can kind of have your own presence instead of like co-branding or becoming a dependent on a subdomain name, which is really what you don't want to do.
Like if you had a Libsyn, like if I careeropportunities.libsyn.com,
yeah, exactly.
you can make that. Well, careeropportunities.com or whatever.
You could use that, but you still have, you know, you're still tied into using their system. And, I mean, I provide more of like a real hosting account with this control account at
on top of it. What's the domain?
Podkai.
Oh, that's right.
Do you know that?
I was going to put it in my notes.
See if I can.
Live.
So this is an example of a live interview I did. The person was in the studio with me, but we did this over a talk show. And
this is Career Opportunities Live.
So this is the
Los
high
Angeles,
quality
California.
Recording with the iRiver.
Douglas E. Welch. Career Opportunities Live is a companion to my regular weekly podcast.
Should have done the other
print column of the same name. Let me now in its 11th year.
Let me do the other link so we can actually fast forward through the intro here. Any other questions before I finish up? We got about 5 minutes here.
Sort of what has led to your career today?
All over 350,
wow.
Just of career opportunities.
Not to take up the whole hour on this one point, but I have an open.
You know,
challenge issue. You know, I've been really lucky. Part of the thing is I only got about 3 more minutes. I only do a 5 to 6 minute show weekly, and so my short length helps me because it's very quick to produce. It's pre-written, again, that helps. The other thing is it's very easy for people to listen to. The biggest comment I get from people is, oh, I love it, it's short, it's pithy. I get so many words for the print column, so it's always pretty much the same length, 5 to 6 minutes, and they love that. The main thing I hear from listeners all the time is, it's short, it's pithy, it's quick, I get my message, I get out, I go on to the next thing. The interviews are longer. I think they need to be longer. I usually will talk up to an hour with someone or some range around that, and they're willing to listen to those because interviews are, to me, they're different. You know, that's something you do kind of settle in and listen to. early on in podcasting, a lot of people have trouble with bandwidth issues. You know, you only get so much outgoing traffic from your website. In this case, GoDaddy jumped up to 250 gigabytes outgoing traffic. There's no way. Even putting these videos out that I put out, there's really no way I'm going to ever use that up, at least right now, unless I get really a lot more popular. Which, if it happens, there's Podkive, there's Libsyn, there's a bunch of other sources I can go to host those files. So I have been really lucky in those regards, and then I haven't had a lot of issues. Now, I will say, a lot of my process, people always ask, well, what's your process for doing your podcast? And I kind of hem and haw a little bit because it's really old school. It's using free tools. There was nothing around when I started podcasting to do a lot of these services that now help you out. Libsyn, FeedBurner was a godsend when FeedBurner came out, because up until that point, for like 6 to 8 months, I was hand-coding my RSS feed. Granted, after a while, it becomes cut and paste, but it's still, is that time formatted in the correct format? Is the date formatted in the right, you know, you had to, and you'd make mistakes and other things like that. So when FeedBurner came along, I was like, okay, great. So I'm still on a Blogger blog. Please Blogger for all my blogs. I have a test WordPress installation there that I'm playing with. Unfortunately, on GoDaddy's, my server, it was running a bit slow initially, and so I wasn't ready to jump. It seems to be working better now, so I might eventually move to WordPress. I use GarageBand on my Macintosh to record my podcast. My theme song is two loops from GarageBand. The GarageBand ships the AAC file to iTunes. I use iTunes to enter my MP3 tags on the file, put my artwork on, and I use iTunes to make the MP3. I then FTP it to my site. So that's pretty old school type of stuff. There are actually systems out there that are designed to do the whole process from end to end. There's other recording programs like Audacity, or if you go, Adobe's Audition product, which is a $400 product you can do. Pardon? Peak LE, which some people get with their systems. Pro Tools, some people are using to do their podcast. I tend to keep it, and free is one of my favorite words, and I think with podcasting, it should be one of your favorite words too, at least initially, because it's going to be the way for you to really dive in, get started without feeling intimidated. Oh, I got to go out and buy $1,000 worth of equipment and $1,000 worth of software and $1,000 hosting thing. Don't feel that way. I'm really want to press as our last statement here because we're out of time. Do it. Just go out and do it and have fun. You will find it very fun, and there will be people out there who want to listen to what you have to say. Okay? We can carry on the conversation out in the discussion area if you wish. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you. This is Technology IQ with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit our website at welchwrite.com/techIQ. welchwrite.com/techIQ. Do you have a technology question? Email it to techiq@welchwrite.com, and we'll answer it in an upcoming podcast.